You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We're joined by very special guest today, Geneva AM, to talk about the latest single, Toitū Te Tiriti. Hey, how are you?
Kia ora, mauri ora.
How's your day been?
Really good. Yes. Very productive.
That's good. Very nice. First off, congrats on the release. How does it feel to have it out in the world?
Really good, especially because it's such a straightforward message. And I feel like I'm kind of adding on to all of the other amazing singles that have been out over the past year talking about the same thing and different aspects. So it's really nice to be part of that group, that rōpū, I guess. Just making a point of it. So it's a really good feeling.
Nice. And I mean, it sounds really obvious, but tell us about the inspiration behind the song and like why you chose to write another song, like despite the fact that there are so many coming out.
Honestly, I just heard like David Seymour speaking and I was like, bro, no.
Relatable.
I really don't like you.
Yeah.
And I didn't like what he was saying, because a lot of politicians like to foreshadow what they're going to do. And all of these bills that he's been trying to put forward in their different ways, it's just, I knew that he was just going to go straight for the jugular.
Yeah.
And you know, King Itu Haiti actually said I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, I you know, want to thank David Seymour for uniting Māori. It's just unfortunate that it's against him, you know? So everyone got really, I think we all like woke up and understood the assignment, I suppose. There's no really way forward unless you like forge a path forward. And the approach that I really wanted to give to this particular single was to reach a bunch of people who may not necessarily politically align with me, or they're, you know, at a much older age group, and or you know, they're just a little bit more traditional in the way that they see things. And yeah, I went straight for the conservatives with this one, to be honest, because I already have like the support of my community. I already have the support of my peers. But we need to start reaching out to these people who mean well and have the same concerns that we do, but we need to like reach them in different ways and really kind of drive it forward to them that they need to be part of this, you know, majority, to be honest. I really want people to start thinking of us as like a collective that are very open and willing to work with each other, even if you are right wing, or even if you are not necessarily looking at diversity. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't be, but you know, sometimes people really fear what they don't know. And I wanted to make something very familiar, and I wanted to make something that also speaks to my own whakapapa as someone with a Pākehā mother. You know, I'm descended from the Akarua French, man. Like, my ancestor planted the, you know, the willow trees along the River Avon in Christchurch. Like, I really wanted to go down that route of, like, continuing this legacy and this traditional element, using string instruments and something quite beautiful and elegant.
It is
as well.
Really beautiful.
It's really beautiful. I mean, a lot of people have been telling me they've Pride, which I didn't necessarily want to like do, you know, because the whole album Picky Picky is about like, you know, uplifting people. But I guess you do have to feel a bit sad to feel good again, like a catharsis or something.
I don't know. Like clouds before the rainbow or something, isn't it? Like there's always a silver. Yeah.
The silver lining.
Silver linings. Yeah.
The sad silver lining.
What was your writing process like for this song?
Well, I was mad.
Yeah.
And then after I wrote it, I was glad.
That's good.
And And then I performed it live. I did this kind of electronic version of it and performed it live on RNZ, and I thought, this needs more people.
Yeah.
Or some type of instrumentation or some type of like human element. I don't know if this is a really electronic song. Electronic music's very accessible to me. I can write it by myself.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring in some more people. And so I asked my friend Eric Scholes, who works for the APO and has been a collaborator of sorts over the years. We did covers together. We still do.
Sick.
Love, yeah, play disco music and stuff at the Viator.
Classic.
Pretty sick. And he's a weapon on the bass.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So he had never put together an arrangement before. He'd never been formally asked. And I thought, well, you're one of my best friends. Can you do this? And he's like, I can do it if you trust me. And so we had this conversation for like a year, you know, over, just kind of talking about like colors and tones and textures. And then at one point he was like, so I know we've been talking about like, you know, one or two string players and like layering them on top, but would you ever think of doing seven players at once? And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And you know, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. But once they were in the studio, you know, like what I love about these musicians is that they've been working for a long time. They're trained. They show up on time and they leave on time and they get it done.
Yeah.
And
that's what you want.
I just thought, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought like, wow, that was a really cool treat.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I want to do one show with them live, just one. And then it kind of turned into a couple, which was cool.
That is cool.
Really awesome opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
But, and just for the statement, I guess. But
sure.
I've been really, really blessed to be able to work with these musicians. And we called them the Ngāwhitu Ensemble because they are kind of all like shining stars on their own.
Yeah.
But when they're together, they form this like, I don't know, nebula or pathway, or you know how we like navigate with the stars. It was just a nice feeling.
Yeah,
no, cool than
sure.
that. Yeah,
it's good. How was the experience of playing with them? Because that's insane to have seven people behind you. Like,
oh, I really love it. I did Kapahaka in high school.
Yeah,
and there's really nothing quite like singing, because I was a soloist. Singing over 40 people.
Yeah.
So it really kind of reminded me of singing with a group of people. I really do love it. I miss Kapahaka a lot. But it is a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
Like you do a lot of hours and time with these people. And I like, I always watch Te Matatini and stuff. And so I guess it was my way of creating like a ropu or something.
Yeah. No,
but
sure.
with string instruments.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool.
No, that's so cool. And you said you and Eric were like trying to come up with a string thing for like a year or something, did you say? That was
Yeah,
so you've worked with him before. And that experience.
Well,
yeah. Or
we were mainly just talking.
Talking, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure, you know, you do like a lot of meetings before you do like the thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to know when is a good time, because life always gets in the way. Like I went overseas and I think he did like a few things overseas as well, like, you know, like we were just kind of like, it was like these sliding doors and stuff, and we just needed to like think about it for a second, because the material already had a message.
Yeah.
And he was intentionally writing for the voice, like he wasn't just creating something that I would sing over. He already had like, you know, my singing, so it's a very different way of approaching the writing
piece,
because usually the piece, I don't know, usually you lay the foundations and then the singer can be added in or something. So it was kind of like a reverse approach, to be honest.
True.
And the material itself, the message is like so straightforward, and you don't really want to compromise like that message. So, I guess we talked a lot about politics, and when the march was happening, we're like, oh my god, we could have had it done by now. But you know, it could be playing in Wellington right now. It's actually fine, because there were a lot of anthems happening at the time, and I really love those songs. I think this is more like it's just a continuation of the same kaupapa, and it's even more important to like keep the momentum going and keep talking about these things. So
And this is just one single of a couple that you've released recently off of your debut album. Sorry, it's coming out. How has it been working on an album? Like,
that's boy, oh boy.
Yeah,
it's a very different approach to just one song, because you don't want to like repeat yourself, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I really went off tangent. Like, this is the only song that features strings.
Yeah,
there's an emo version of Pōkari Kariana with like a band that I made for a day.
Nice.
And then the rest are kind of like, they go in between different genres, and some of them are covers of like Waiata Tapito, and some of them are just like originals, and I even added some that were in English as well. And so altogether it's about like 10 songs, which is cool.
That's cool.
And it's been really fun to bring it all together, and pressing the vinyl was real cool. I got to go in and see that. And so, like holding like a physical copy of your music is a really awesome feeling. And I guess going album mode is pretty fun as well, like doing gigs and really just thinking about how, you know, the album itself is geared and developed towards playing live. So all of these songs I've played live before, but they were being kind of written or solidified, or I guess trialed live. As a teenager, I did this thing called Class Comedians, and I was a real drama nerd, and I tried to do like stand-up comedy.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so the thing that I took away from that was that you can like, you could say your jokes live and to a live audience, and if they're good, then you don't have to write them again. But if they're not good, you can keep working at it.
Yeah,
and you've got this like, I just like learned how to be brave and just kind of show it as it is and be like, how does the crowd feel about this one? And now I feel like when you play it live, it goes from like a low end to a high end. And by the end, everyone feels really good because it's like very dancey.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I want when people listen to it at home, is that they can like go through the motions and then at the end feel really good and feel like they've gotten somewhere. So
so like very start to finish kind of album, not a shuffle album.
Yeah, I mean you can shuffle it if you want. Like do what you need to do. Some people, you know, they have to like go, you can go off tangent if you want to. You can have favorites.
Do you have a favorite?
I did write this song that's called Kiss You Goodbye. And initially it was a breakup song, and then I was thinking about it and I'm like, nah, it's not really a breakup song. It's more like I'm just like talking to myself, really. Because when you break up with someone, it's like, it's actually kind of like you, you know, a version of you.
No, so, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I really like that song because I'm like breaking up with my old self.
Yeah.
Not in like a mean way, but it's kind of like, like
a moving on.
We're doing better now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye. And so that's why it's kind of like called Kiss You Goodbye, because it's you're just saying a nice goodbye, but you're also like, that's enough,
get out of here
done with that. get out of here and never come back. It's more like I hold myself a lot higher now, and I don't do what I used to do anymore, which is good.
That is good.
Yeah, or like you're trying to like improve.
Yeah,
you know,
constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really do like that song, but for just personal reasons, really.
Yeah.
But all of them are great. I mean, the whole album is just perfect.
Lovely.
I love listening to it all the time. So.
Yeah. That's so good. I feel like that's a great sign. If you're listening to your own work all the time, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's only mine for so long. And
true,
then
once
it's relinquished to everyone else, it becomes theirs.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it anyway. Mm. So all of these singles that are coming out, I'm like, okay, this is everyone's now. And I say, like, goodbye to it.
Mm.
And, you know.
Yeah.
It's like an old friend.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, you're doing great.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you most excited for with the release of this album?
Oh, the vinyl.
Yeah.
I love holding it.
Yes.
I haven't, like, I just want to hold it in my hands, but, you know, you don't want to ruin it.
No, yeah.
Like I said, in a way, you got to treat it and stuff. The oil is on your hand. But I would love to, but I can't. Then it will be unplayable.
Exactly. You don't want that.
No. and what else? Writing more music, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but it will be great.
I think.
Yeah. I learned a lot this time.
That's really good. I feel like that's the most important thing, right? Constant learning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
You rule. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So do you. This has been great. So fun. Thank you so much for coming on The One. We've got it lined up right now. Toy Tutu Sriti up next. So exciting.
Yay.
It's been an absolute pleasure. This is Geneva AM.
Tu mai ngarangatahi Korero Māori, Korero Māori Korero Māori, Korero Māori
was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.